Welcome to the Christ Community Church Montreat podcast. Kevin Allman here with Pastor Richard White. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Kevin.
Well, we live in interesting times and difficult times in many ways, and that's the basis of what...
That's usually the setup for a real doozy of a question.
Oh, yes, that's right. So here it is. It seems today that there's more and more to be discouraged about in the world. Even in this place that has been known in the past as part of the Bible Belt, it seems there are more non-believers than there are believers. I'm longing to hear words of hope. Could you share some with us?
Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ is coming again. Those are
some words of hope. I don't try to, my wife always says, don't quote a Bible verse just to sell something. So in all fairness to the question, very poignant question. We do live in hard times, and on the international scene, just on the personal, everybody's life has got some complicated, set of circumstances, whether it's taking care of aging parents or children who are wayward, or a love life or a career that's circling the toilet. And so we go about daily life, and there's a lot of hard things coming at us that we're dealing with. And where's hope? And what is hope? Mm-hmm. And first of all, hope, and in our everyday use of the word, basically it means it's a wish. I hope it doesn't rain today. Oh, I hope we're not late for the concert. Oh, I hope, and it's basically a wish. And that's not biblical hope at all. Mm-hmm. Our hope in the Lord is tied to a reality. Mm-hmm. So biblical hope is anchored in the person, the character, the work of God, the promises of God, which are also linked to his character, that he does not lie. And so hope is, it's a sure thing, but it's something we don't see yet. The end of 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love, these three are the great things. But the greatest of these endure, but the greatest of these is love. And that's because someday faith and hope, faith will be sight and hope will all be realized. Mm. And love will go on. That will be what we enjoy for all eternity. But right now, we are people of hope, and we are people with wild hopes, because God's made amazing promises, such as the meek shall inherit the earth. And the meek are those who are in Christ, those who have been redeemed and saved by him, who have humbled themselves, confessed their sin, they look to Jesus as their Savior. This is part of what meekness and who the meek are. And so when you think about it, we who are in Christ have been promised that we're going to inherit the whole ball of wax. That should stir some liveliness in the soul. Mm-hmm. We have a living hope, the scriptures talk about, and it's a living hope, not a dead hope, not just a wish hope, because Jesus Christ lives. He's come up out of the grave. He lives never to die again. And there's nobody who can stop him on fulfilling every promise of God. He will bring it about. And so when I talk about Christians being people of just this wild hope, we really are, but it's a wildness in these promises of God. I'd say, how do we, we want a word of encouragement, a word of, pick me up, a word of hope in the places that are hard and maybe where we're really under the gun, so to speak, and toughen it out in some circumstance. And I would encourage anybody, go back through, just read God's word, and what are some of the big promises that God has made, and to build our hope and our confidence, think about the character of God. Think about what God has done for us in Christ. Christ has died, he is risen, and he is coming. And when he comes, every one of the promises is going to be fulfilled. Mm. I kind of liken the promises of God to, and we have to do this on the long, big scale. I realize that, and that's a little, it's a little tougher to do. But, you know, here you are, maybe it's December or January, and it's January is probably the better month. It's cold outside, all the holidays are over, but come, May 15th, you're going on a cruise in, the Bahamas or something. You're going on some exotic, wonderful vacation. You're going to be with your family, and it's going to be awesome. Mm. And so you're studying up the whole long winter about that nice warm beach you're going to be on. And, ooh, there's this restaurant. We got to go to this. And so you're stoking your heart with the joys of what is to come. And your hope is, yes, this is coming. We've already paid for the tickets. We've gotten off work. We've got it all together. And, as best we can in this life. And so that living for a goal, living for something that you know is coming, it helps you in the months before that. It buoys your spirits. That's a little picture of something that we have. And the promises, the sure promises of God, of what's coming in eternity. And the Lord will bring it all about. This helps us. 1 Corinthians 15, the end of that, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And sometimes it just seems, what's the use, Lord? Well, here's a promise. Your work in the Lord is not in vain. The Lord sees and he rewards. We are promised that. David, we find this in 1 Samuel 30. I was just looking at this, 1 Samuel 30. David with his men go off to kind of join the Philistines, and then they're rebuffed and sent back home. Well, in the meanwhile, I think they're at a city called Keilah, I think. A raiding party has come and taken everything, their wives, their children, all their goods, mm-hmm. and taken them away. And so they get back to the city, David and his men, and they're all gone. And his men are so angry with him, they threaten to stone him. And they're bitter in spirit. And I love the phrase, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just a discipline we've got to do in these days. We've got to learn, what does it mean to strengthen myself in the Lord my God? Well, part of that is going to the promises. What has God promised for today to be with me? The promise of the Holy Spirit. I am not on my own in this day. I'm not on my own in these circumstances. I can ask for wisdom. I can ask for his presence. I can ask Jesus to go before me and to open those doors that he wants me to walk through. And so live a very different kind of life. It's not one of me trying to figure something out, but it's me, Lord, here I am. And how do you want to use me today? I have a dear friend whose mother-in-law took a bad fall, and his wife's off to the hospital today. And, that wasn't what they planned for the day, but that's now a different kind of chapter that's open to them. So what does it mean, Lord, for me to walk into this loving, mother and mother-in-law and being attentive to you in the midst of this, but to realize the peace of God, the provision of God and his presence in the midst of that. So we're not a despairing people. We may weep. We absolutely weep. And life is hard. There's suffering and pain in this life, but we know that is going to come to an end. And so again, these vast promises of God, we tie ourselves into those. That's one of the ways we strengthen ourselves in the Lord. I think we also really need to be aware of walking in isolation. The fellowship of the saints, we're meant to encourage one another. We need brothers and sisters sometimes to preach the gospel to us, sometimes just to listen, sometimes just to be there. There's times when our faith, is kind of low in the tank, and I need to see and hear another brother or sister praising God and loving the Lord, seeing how God is ministering to that person, because that encourages me. Because I'm not feeling anything. Yeah, I'm feeling really dull, perhaps. I know Portia and I, we have those times where, I'm really struggling, sweetie, right now, and I'm just so dull in my spirit. Could I just kind of hitch my wagon, so to speak, to your faith and your experience with the Lord? So often it's a, hey, the Lord showed me this today, or here's how the Lord met me. And it's a pick me up. Mm. But we need that in the fellowship of the saints. But I think the thing that we struggle with the most is this sense of we're on our own apart from God. And I'm struck how, just in my own life, how I can go hours through a day and realize I didn't think anything about the Lord and what I just at meeting, or what I was doing there. I feel like a rank pagan or something, just gutting it out of my own strength here. And even as pastors, we do this. And I repent of that. But the joy in that is, Lord, I was not on my own in that, because you are sovereign and you are watching over me. But I want to be attentive to the living Lord Jesus Christ. And the resurrection did happen. And I want to live in the light of that, rather than living as though somehow it didn't happen, which I think a lot of Christians, I mean, we're up and down on this constantly. None of us is perfect on this. None of us. But I think the discipline of the Christian life is to live more into the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to know he is present. He provides me the Holy Spirit. He provides wisdom. His presence is with me. I have these promises, and it is a reminding myself of these things. Throughout the Old Testament, especially in the book of Deuteronomy, you have this word remember. It just is repeated constantly. Remember, remember, remember. And we've got to remind ourselves of, again, what has God said? Who is he? What's the bigger picture that my little story is being played out in? The big story of God, in which it comes all to this wonderful climax with the coming of Christ and the coming, the fullness of the kingdom, and the kingdom of righteousness, in which sin and evil and brokenness and death does not exist at all. That's coming. And so we need these strong assurances of the Lord. But this is the living hope. And let me just close with this, unless you want to do a follow-up. This is from 1 Peter. He's writing to people who are facing persecution. And he says, blessed be the God, this is 1 Peter 1, verse 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So again, ours isn't some wish. It's a living hope. There's a reality here. Why? Because Jesus Christ has come up out of the grave. Mm-hmm. And so our hope is tied to him. And then he unpacks a little bit more of what that is, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. And you, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, as is necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. Mm. So you see the dynamic there of you're going through trials, you're grieved, but you also have joy. And your joy is tied to the hope. And the hope is alive because Jesus is alive. There's an inheritance coming, something far greater than the greatest vacation you could possibly have on this earth, an inheritance that's imperishable, undefiled, unfading. and we're kept by God's power. In other words, we have the Holy Spirit. God is with us. We're not on our own. And so all this forms the kind of the substance of and the strength of what this living hope is. But we've got to own these things, press into these things, bring these things into the heart and mind, meditating on them even as we go through the various trials, testings of our faith.
You know, the other dimension of this to me is also that I think a lot of us struggle with just the fact that culture changes over time, and it always does, everywhere, all the time. And for those of us who have lived in this area for either for many years or our whole lives, we've seen a lot of change. And yet, God is moving all over the world. Mm-hmm. Just a few years ago, we had the privilege of having a group of Chinese church leaders here on campus. And what was happening in China in a culture that is so oppositional to the gospel, extremely oppositional to the gospel, and yet the gospel was moving, is moving there in ways that it's not even moving here. Mm-hmm. And so that gives me hope, too, to look around the world and see, you know, the culture is not the indicator of what God's doing.
Right, right.
You know?
Yeah. We're so closed off. This is this Fellowship of the Saints, and maybe even our Fellowship of the Saints circle needs to enlarge. Find some internationals or talk with missionaries about what God's doing in the world. This last week, I was speaking with a young woman, a graduate of Gordon-Conwell Seminary, and she talked about how she loved the international community that was at the seminary. And she said, yeah, you know, here's this guy in one of my classes. He's from Africa. And we'd get talking, and he was a Muslim, and he was studying to be an imam. And he was in his office one day, and I don't know what this looked like. She didn't say, and I'm not sure he said either. But he's sitting here studying, the Islamic scriptures, and Jesus shows up in his office, just the manifestation of Jesus, wow. And says to this man, "You are misrepresenting me, as you talk about Christians, and you need to find out the truth." Well, he did. He was converted, and now he's going to be he's studying for ministry, Christian ministry. But, I mean, how cool. God's doing stuff like this in the world, and, that's part of this living hope that Jesus Christ is risen from the grave, and he is active in this world. Mm. Stories like that are just, that you can sometimes read books about what God is doing around the world, and it encourages our faith, and we need this. Yeah. It's so easy to put the blinders on and just see the little world that's just in front of me, yeah. Or maybe just under my feet even, and I can't see anything else. And we really need to expand our horizons by that fellowship with the saints and discovery of what God's doing in the world and what he's promising to do.
Amen. Will you pray for us?
I will. Father in heaven, thank you for your love for us and the vast promises you've made. Thank you that, Lord, just thinking of where you've said that you've begun a good work in us and you will carry it on to completion, and how our labors in the Lord are not in vain. Thank you, Father, for these things. Thank you that you promise I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And thank you for this living hope we have and an inheritance that is undefiled, unfading, and is secured for us in heaven. Thank you for the new heavens and the new earth that is coming, in which righteousness dwells. Lord, help us to hold on to these promises and be people of deep and lively hope in the Lord. Lord, where anybody today is facing bitter circumstances, like David's men, Lord, may your people learn to strengthen themselves in the Lord, and teach us what that looks like, Lord. And may your peace and your presence bless your people today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.